someone. Wait for me.
This is Fred Allen welcoming you to the Bing Crosby Show, presented by Chesterfield, produced and transcribed in New York, with John Scott Trotter in his orchestra and Judd Conlon's rhythm air. And now here is Chesterfield's boy baritone, Bing Crosby.
What are you doing here announcing this program?
Well, Bing, I've been out of work for so long, I'll take any kind of a job these days.
Well, you sound like a man whose hopes are so shattered that he'd even appear with hope.
Well, I am desperate, but not that desperate. To get this job tonight, you know, I had the Ken Carpenter rubbed out.
You had Ken rubbed out?
Yes, I had his name erased from the script.
Where's Ken now?
Well, he's lying out in the alley. I've got Pitt Shaw sitting on it.
Boy, that'll keep him from blowing away.
Yeah. Anyhow, I'm afraid it was nice of Carpenter to let himself get rubbed out so he could slip you a little work.
Well, Ken had nothing to do with this thing. This job, really, frankly, I got this job from my employment agency.
Yeah, but Fred, you're not an announcer. You're a comedian.
Oh, well, that's with the with another agency thing.
Mm-hmm.
Them I never hear from.
Well, we're flattered. We certainly are flattered to have you with us, Fred, but... How'd you ever come to take such a job?
Well, at the agency this morning, I was there bright and early. They had two jobs listed on the bulletin board. Well, I could either be the announcer on the Bing Crosby Show, or I could wash dishes at Bickford.
Well, naturally, you chose the more attractive job.
Yes, but another dishwasher beat me too, Bickford. he had his own soap.
Oh, well,
so yes, but he does get in there, and two guys were put out of work. So here I am.
Well, it's a break for us. We're happy about it, Fred. I knew you were coming out to break the case.
Oh, Bing, if you've got the oven going, how about a little bread?
Think of that stuff, Fred.
So, Bing, this morning I stuck my head in the icebox. That's the only meat that's been in there for 6 months. With ears on.
Oh,
has no appeal. Nothing at all. You know, food is so scarce around my house, the mice are bringing things back.
Oh, you poor fellow.
Well, I think I wouldn't care if I didn't try. But I've been on my toes looking for work. I've been on my knees begging for work. And now I wind up on my way down to your program. It's disturbing.
How steady, Freddy. Steady. Keep the sunny side up. Look for the silver lining. Let a smile be your umbrella.
Well, I tried letting a smile be my umbrella.
What happened?
I wound up with a mouthful of rainwater.
Listen, I'd like to suggest you keep your mouth closed until the reservoir is filled, anyhow.
You mean I... Say, if that rainmaker comes through, the mayor might need your shirt for a rainbow there.
I like it,
Mark. You mean... you look like a peacock backing into the sun. I should keep my trap.
Well, for just a few seconds. But on account of the rhythm as you're gathering around for the opening number, it's a thing called Yodel Blues from Texas Little Doll.
Oh, swell.
You ready, John Scott?
Hey, way up New York City, they talk a different style. They're so busy making money that they ain't got time to smile. He says, the doggone crowded. I says to him in there, I went back home to Texas to get a breath from there.
Oh, I tell him all Greek. I'd think so, even if you didn't say so.
You know, that's one thing that burns me up. The compliments that fly back and forth between the announcer and the star on a radio show.
What do you mean?
Well, the short-winded star gasps a star.
Oh.
And the announcer says, "Very good, Bing." Then the announcer does a commercial, and the singer says, "Very good, Ken." All through the show, they stand there telling each other, "Very good, very good, very good." And like this, they kill a season.
That's just radio etiquette, Fred.
For years, I've been waiting for a star to finish a song and for the announcer to forget the very good stuff. Just once, Bing, I would like to hear an announcer say, "Oh, well, better luck next time."
Now, listen, Fred, don't you try to revolutionize radio just because it's on its way out. We got a big enough problem here tonight.
Problem?
Yes, it's time for our Chesterfield commercial and no Ken Carpenter.
Bing, are you by any chance insinuating that I personally am not equipped to sing the praises of your product?
Well, possibly that's a blunt way of describing
it
the situation.
Right.
I just feel that to talk about Chesterfield, one should have a smooth, melodious, clear, resonant voice.
Oh, you mean like Arthur Godfrey? Why, when Godfrey sings, they have to step on a bullfrog to give him the pitch.
You're just bitter, and I'm with you. You must admit, when Godfrey talks, he has a lot of warmth and a down-to-earth quality.
Well, I know. I call Godfrey the man with the barefoot voice. You know, like I talk through my nose, Arthur talks through his toes. Well, so much for chit-chat, Bing. I'm here as your announcer, and I shall carry on.
Very well. Godspeed to your left.
Thank you.
Now, just what does it say for Chesterfield?
Well, for one thing, every time I hear a Chesterfield program, somebody is always saying, "Be your own cigarette expert."
Pretty good idea, don't you think?
Well, I'm not so sure, Bing.
Fred, you seem to have some hesitation about our making the folks cigarette experts.
Why this? Well, I think that you are killing the goose that lays the golden egg.
How do you figure that, sir?
Well, why are you on for Chesterfield, Bing?
Well, to entertain the folks and sell some Chesterfield.
My point exactly.
What's that got to do with the golden goose egg or whatever that cliche was you excavated for the purpose of an episode?
I had Sam Spade dig that up.
Yes, sir.
Now, don't get me wrong, Bing. The cigarette expert idea is good. In fact, it's too good.
It's too good. Is that bad?
Look, Bing, you are on this show to sell Chesterfield. But when you have an idea as good as this cigarette expert business, you sell too many.
Glory be.
What I am getting at is that you make every one of us a cigarette expert, and we all buy Chesterfields, you see. Well, with everybody buying Chesterfields, you've sold yourself out of a job. Bing, you are killing yourself off.
What a way to go.
Well, go ahead. Cut your own throat if you want
to. Well, Fred, I appreciate your concern, but I'll just have to chance it. Folks, if you'll just be your own cigarette expert, I'm pretty sure you'll smoke Chesterfield. All you have to do is get a whiff.
of the milder aroma from a Chesterfield pack. It's much milder. Then smoke the pack, and you'll know for sure that Chesterfields are milder than any other cigarette. Just make this little test for me, huh? And you'll always buy Chesterfield. And their number, sort of in the tempo of the blues, written by Mack Gordon and Joseph Myler for the picture Wabash Avenue.
Baby, won't you say you love me? Tell you do, I can't feel right. But baby, if you tell me that you love me, I promise not to ask again. That is until tomorrow night. Baby, I need you beside me. Part of everything I do. Try as much to laugh as much and love me even half as much as I love you. Baby, I need you beside me. Part of everything I do. To cry as much, to laugh as much, and love me even half as much as I.
Baby, won't you say you love me? I'm very good, Bing.
You thought I was very good, huh?
Oh, very good.
Oh, there they go with that very good routine. And what are you doing in here anyway, Mr. Carpenter? You're supposed to be out in the alley.
Well, I got so homesick for a commercial, I just had to come in.
The commercial's over.
Oh, I could kill myself.
Man, a fellow with your attitude never has to kill himself. Somebody else is bound to save him.
Take it easy. Don't get upset.
Well, with Ken back, Bing, it looks as though I'm out of work again.
Well, we can figure this out. Ken can be our announcer, and you can get a better deal.
Really?
Sure, you can be our guest star tonight.
Well, look, now, wait a minute. If I'm going to be the guest star, you've got to give me two packs of Chesterfield.
Give me a whole carton, kid. A whole carton.
Well, who do I see about that?
Godfrey.
I'm getting the runaround.
Good.
Now, relax. Well, look, how can I relax? You have got the relaxation market cornered.
Oh, no. That's a gross fiction. Big fiction.
Now, don't avoid the issue, Bing. I understand that you're shoving off to Europe after next week's broadcast.
That's true, Fred. Next week is our big final fair of the season, and it's off to the old country.
Oh, really? What old country?
Any old country. I just come around.
Are you going to London?
Oh, sure. I'm going to London to see Joe Palooka fight.
Really?
And after that, I'm going down to Dover and watch him.
Well, Bing, I'm not much of an expert on England, but if you go to France, I think I can be of a little help to you.
Speak French, Ben?
No, but I have a small book here, Bing.
Oh, let me see.
How to Speak Perfect French in 10 minutes.
Oh.
You can pick out a few phrases. If you need a Frenchman, you have something to say. You know, now here's a phrase on page 2. Qui a placé le tambour le best dans ma petite café?
What does that mean?
Who put the tambourine in my demi-tasse?
Oh, I'll read that.
Now, here's another one. Quelqu'un a laissé un bout de neige sur le sweet-home de mon grand-mère.
What's that?
Somebody has left a snowball under my grandmother's pen wiper.
But how are you going to work these kind of things into a conversation?
Well, if it isn't difficult in Paris, Bing, if you're an American, they'll take anything from you. And incidentally, if you're going by boat, I'd like to give you my formula for seasickness. Mm-hmm. There is only one sure way to prevent seasickness.
What's that?
wear a tight collar. And also, if you're restless at night while you're in Europe, you can make your own sanka.
How do I make my own sanka?
Put sleeping pills in your coffee.
I sleep in all these ships, Fred. You're very friendly. And inasmuch as you're laying off, I don't see why you don't hop to Queen Elizabeth with me.
Well, I'm sorry, Bing. I have to stay here in New York and worry.
Oh, don't be so grim.
Well, things are pretty bad. There just isn't any money in show business anymore.
Look at the money Hope took in when he played with Paramount.
Well, that's what I mean. There isn't any left.
I hear old Fatty and me really hit the jackpot.
Oh, he sure did. You have to go out of town to change a $2 bill now. Bill was bulging when he left town.
Bulging when he arrived.
Say, Bing, I saw an income tax collector's hand coming out of his bed. Say, Bing, is Bob really as tight as they say?
Hey, Fred, do you know that Hope has a burglar alarm on his garbage can?
Gosh, I can remember when I had a garbage can, Bing. Furnished and everything. Due on the old avocados and those days.
I wish you'd stop feeling sorry for yourself. That's certainly a man with your talent and your experience can get back in radio. Mm-hmm.
Well, what radio, Bing? Let's face it. Radio has come to the end of the trail.
You mean people in radio are feeling the pink?
Oh, malnutrition is on the march, Bing. Take those detective programs. Mm-hmm. The fat man is now the thin man. And the thin man is now the shadow.
Sam State is digging up cliches for you, too.
One man's family's on relief. The Lone Ranger is looking for a loan. The Whistler is all puckered out. And John's other wife is on her last glass.
I can't believe it.
Bing, things are so bad in radio, John's other wife is dating John again. The last I heard, Stop the Music is calling people collect now. Yes, Bing, it looks as though television is taking over.
Well, it's certainly building, yeah.
I went out to California this winter. Traveling across the country, I saw television aerials on top of buildings, on top of motels, passing farms, I saw them on top of houses. Passing through Albuquerque, I even saw television aerials on top of wigwams.
Oh, they'll never get Sitting Bull up now.
Well, the Indians really go for it. You know, one store in Albuquerque, Chief Roebuck, I think it is. They have quite a deal there. With every television set, they give away a swivel chair.
But why a free swivel chair with every television set in Albuquerque?
Well, when a squaw is through watching Maury Amsterdam, she can spin around and let her papoo see how to do this. Bing, if I had known this new medium was going to boom, I would have been in it a long time ago.
That's a good idea when the whole thing started. Couldn't you see the handwriting on the wall?
Well, I could see the handwriting, but after watching television, I couldn't read it.
Well, I guess early television was quite a strain on the eyes.
Oh, yes. 2 years ago, a lady I know gave her husband a television set for Christmas. And this past Christmas, his eyes were so sharp, she had to give the poor man a parrot.
Parrot?
Mm-hmm. The bird sits on the man's lap, watches the television screen, and tells the man what's going on.
That's all the problem, I guess.
Well, not quite. Now the parrot's vision is getting so bad, he can hardly see what's going on himself. Half of the time, the parrot just sits there and ad-libs. Bing, if the parrot's eyesight gets any worse, they have to get something for him.
Well, how about another parrot?
Bing, if this parrot had another parrot, you think he'd sit there watching television?
I think that this new medium is going to create a lot of employment.
A lot of unemployment. Well, it works both ways.
It's a forgivable stammer, that.
Well, I hear they're bringing a tribe of headhunters over from Africa to shrink actors for those small television screens. And I have an uncle in Far Rockaway who's now using his wine cellar to age pictures for television. They had a real oldie on one TV station last night.
What was that?
Samson and Delilah.
Oh, no. Fred, Samson and Delilah is a new picture.
The one I saw had the original cast.
Well, now, all television entertainment is just movies. They have some great live shows. Have you ever seen Milton Berle?
Well, frankly, I don't watch Berle's programming. Anyone accepting entertainment from Berle automatically becomes a fence for stolen goods.
You got a point there.
right, but if you're not going on television, Fred, what are your plans?
Well, I'm not writing songs now. I'm trying to get into acting. I'm writing City Billy songs.
What's that? City Billy.
Well,
Well, you know, the people who live out in the hills have plenty of hillbilly songs. But the people who live in the city have no folk music.
That's true.
Now, my songs, instead of being about plows and pigs and dirty old men with beards, my songs are about the white-collar workers, the little men you see in the banks, in the subways, in the department stores.
Well, you got a sample of one of those City Billy songs, will you?
Well, I just finished one. I've got the words and music right here. It's called The Lament of Homer Tracy.
That's pretty good. Why don't we run it over?
All right, I'll show you how it goes, Jake.
Listen, folks, the song we'll sing, a different sort of ditty. Our hero didn't live in the hills, he lived in New York City.
Our hero lived in New York City, his name was Homer Tracy. He worked in the department store, and the store was owned by Macy.
The store was owned by Macy.
Yes, Homer was a city boy. He wore an Adam hat. He took the BMT to work, and he ate in the automat.
Our hero was a floor walker. His name was Homer Tracy. He walked the floor of his apartment store, and the store was owned by Macy.
The store was owned by Macy.
Once Macy's had a girdle sale, the mad mob lost its head. They stomped on Homer till closing time, and they left him there for dead.
His wife Gardenia stained with blood, the blood of Homer Tracy. There was gore on the floor of the department store, and the floor was owned by Macy.
The floor was owned by Macy.
In his coffin, Homer lay with a smile. We knew what the smile on his face meant. Homer Tracy was still with Macy. They buried him in the basement.
The cap on Homer's grave says life is just a symbol. I would be alive today if I had worked for Gimbal.
Fred, that's a great, great tune. I'm sure that song's going to represent a considerable contribution to the instant musical library of the city, Billy. They'll adore you. Friends, now for some simple instructions on how each of you can be your own cigarette expert.
It's as simple as A, B, C. A,
you buy yourself a pack of these Chesterfields and you open the top all the way.
B, you smell the milder aroma that comes from that Chesterfield pack. No other cigarette has it. And lastly, C,
you light a Chesterfield and you enjoy this pack. Tobaccos that smell milder, they sure do smoke milder.
Yes, every man who grows tobacco knows that fact. Tobaccos that smell milder do smoke milder. Now, what goes into a cigarette is what you get out of it. Into every Chesterfield goes the right combination of the world's best mild, ripe tobaccos.
And out of every Chesterfield, you get a smoke that's cooler and better. A smoke that's much milder with no unpleasant aftertaste. So make our little mildness test for yourself.
Be your own cigarette expert.
Buy yourself Chesterfield today and enjoy more smoking pleasure than any other cigarette can give you. Here's a new ballad. Rather, it's an old ballad. It's got quite a bit of mileage on it, but it's being revived. Prominently featured in this arrangement is Mr. Bernie Leighton at the piano.
It isn't fair for you to taunt me. How can you make me fair this way? It isn't fair for you to want me if it's just for a day. It isn't fair for you to thrill me. Why do you do the things you do? It isn't fair for you to sell me with those dreams the transom to dear. Why is it you came into my life and made it complete? You gave me just the taste of my life, perfect love. And I repeat, it isn't fair for you to taunt me. How can you make me care this way? It isn't fair for you to want me if it's just for today.
Tune, isn't there? Well, that's about it for this world. I want to thank Fred Allen for dropping in with all that valuable advice.
Yeah.
And as always, his great wit and his charm.
Well, I enjoyed the business thing. And take it easy when you get over there to Paris.
What do you mean, take it easy? Take it easy. Now I'm going to have fun.
Well, don't forget, being at your age, fun is like insurance.
Fun is like insurance?
Yes, the older you get, the more it costs.
Well, then I'll just loaf around the Louvre, I guess.
Hang around the Louvre.
Yeah.
Well, who's with you next week, Dave?
Next week, Fred, is our big farewell show of the season. Our guests will be Bob Hope, Arthur Godfrey, Perry Como, and Gary Dennis, Philip, and Lindsay Crosby.
What about Mr. Paley? Isn't he going to be...
Mr. Paley is going to be at the control.
Oh, at the control. He knows those.
Oh,
guys.
He does.
Well, see you soon, Fred. The Bon Voyage thing.
What's this? Bon Voyage? What does that mean, Bon?
Well, I gave you the book, the little red book.
Look
it up in there.
I'll look at it.
Small pen of the big pen.
I'll see you again. Okay, right. With an asterisk? With a new one. Okay. See you next week. The Chesterfield, folks. The best cigarette for you to smoke.
The Bing Crosby Show, presented by Chesterfield, was produced and transcribed in New York by Bill Morrell and Myrtle McKenzie. Tune in next week and you're Bing and his guests, Bob Hope, Arthur Godfrey, Perry Como, and Gary Dennis, Philip, and Lindsay Crosby. Chesterfield also brings you Arthur Godfrey 5 mornings a week. And on Saturday night, the Arthur Godfrey Digest, all over these same CBS stations. The George Burns and Gracie Allen Show follows immediately.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.